Well, I want to hear some testimony, maybe Jenny Klein or someone come up. It's my understanding that even though we meet the troopers over there, they, Commerce says, at least if I understand, that they will operate on what they've got. That's not what this fiscal one says, and that's why I want to follow up here and make sure that's true.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Well, Mike, you're still here. As I recall, just sitting on the budget and audit, this major expansion that you went into came with Fed dollars. Is that right? Federal dollars?
Yes, ma'am.
And I think you're still under that contract program receipts. Yeah. How long do those federal dollars go?
Okay. The program will end in March of 1983, and that involves 23 scale operators and one data control clerk that were hired with federal funds to make the necessary reports from the field. When we entered into the program, we had to have a core group of already existing people, and we had to have the authority to enforce the size and weight regulations and the vehicle inspections. Those are criteria that only out of 33 states that applied, 4 finding were accepted. And Alaska was one of them, Utah, Idaho, and Michigan were the other states. I don't know at this point in time if a transfer will affect the integrity of what the first 2 years of the program was. I think that's a question that the federal government will have to answer.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, this issue, just for clarification, these 23 scale operator positions plus the one individual are all, of course, non-uniform, correct?
They're civilian employees. They work in the scale house. They are non-commissioned. They work in. They report to the scale house. They do not drive patrol cars, carry guns, or are policemen.
All right, but are they involved when we talk about the 15 troopers that you want to maintain? Are they involved in this 23?
No, ma'am.
It's in addition. Mr. Chairman, the question that comes up is whether we will be able, with this transfer, to retain. The only reason I'm familiar with this because it came through
I'm familiar with that RP, right.
And I'm just wondering if that has any impact on our ability to maintain those federal funds that we're getting now that apparently go through to March, mid-March of 1983.
Can you respond?
As I indicated, Senator Sturgeluski, I can't. When we got the program, we had to meet certain criteria. One, that we had an existing program, that we had the ability to enforce the regulations in all carriers. I can't honestly say. The federal government will have to be the one to answer that as to whether they would say that there's been a change in the programs in the first 2 years or not. At this point in time, I can only, as I mentioned before, there were 4 states selected out of 33 that applied. And I don't know that if the program transfers, I honestly can't tell you whether that would affect the federal decision or not.
Any further questions? Desire of the committee?
Well, let's see where we are. I'd like to hear just a moment, Mr. Chairman, if I could, from... is Jenny Klein here? Jenny, could you come along and ask your question?
Chairman, I thought this was a simple
one.
Thank you for bringing it.
You're welcome.
Jenny, you've heard the conversation here concerning this. What's your understanding about the cost of this program if it's transferred over?
Right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jeannie Klein, Alaska Chapter Associated General Contractors. And I'll try to answer your question, Mr. Chairman, to Senator Sturgeluski. The fiscal note is a direct transfer of the money used to man the weigh stations and the permits, which is a civilian component within public safety. We do not see it as adding any new money at all. It's simply transferring those funds from public safety to Department of Commerce and Economic Development. Our concern with the bill is that we feel the civilian component perhaps belongs better in a regulatory agency, such as Department of Commerce, than in an agency dealing with state troopers, crime and punishment. If there's any questions about the history of the bill or anything else, I'd be glad to answer them.
Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Banker?
No, I had no questions for her. Thank you, Jean. Mr. Chairman, now we've adopted your fiscal notes. So far, $25,000, is that correct?
$125,000. Right.
And then you adopted one at $350,000.
No, that's for the other bill.
$350,000
is for the other bill.
That'll be for the amendment.
Right.
All right. And then we've got one. And the question comes as to whether these are new dollars or not. Do I understand that correctly? She says there is no new dollars.
According to the fiscal notes, the one for 1.54, 1.4, that's all transfers from the Department of Public Safety. But as you know, public safety says they need 900,000 of that.
We can address that
in on the budget.
Like you said. Well, if there's no objections, I'd like to move out committee substitute House Bill Number 586 with the fiscal notes and with the letter of intent from Al Adam, Chairman of the House Finance Committee.
There is a motion. Is there an objection?
No objection.
Do you wish the floor?
It's just a question, Mr. Chairman. The transfer funds, and I see they have the program receives the federal funds. I think there may be or may not be a question as to whether there's any problem with another agency taking it over. But on the 15 troopers that were referred to, are those not already included in the budget? I assume they're budgeted
yes,
positions.
Yes, they are.
And so it would simply be a question of retaining those, and I haven't seen by the action we're taking here that we were deleting those positions,
okay.
Or were we?
I'm sorry I didn't explain that more fully. When we get to the budget, there's no way that I could do it in a fiscal note by deleting from the Department of Public Safety. So when we get to the budget itself, we have to take it up as an issue and delete them, or if we want to keep them in, realize that we have to use new dollars.
Mr. Chairman, just to pursue that, in other words, then, where I see the 40 positions, we're talking about the scale operators, the 15 plus the 1. Is that what's included there?
Yes.
So that the dollars, in fact, are included in this 1.541?
Correct.
Okay. So they would have to be added then into, deleted from this fiscal note and added to the budget. Is that correct?
No. This fiscal note would automatically add it to the budget in Department of Commerce and Economic Development. We have to take a deletion motion to delete it from public safety when we take up the budget.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I need to pursue it just a little bit further. If, when it goes to the new department, will they just be operating the scale operators, or will they actually have people running up and down the road doing what the 15 troopers are doing? That's where I'm confused.
They would have 1.5 million,
mm-hmm.
And they would be doing everything.
They would do everything?
That's right. They would be getting all those people to do it, including
running up and down the roads, getting tickets to people.
Elmer?
Mr. Chairman, the people would be transferred to the Department of Commerce would be simply running the way station.
Running, right.
If there's anybody on the highway, that would be the point where you consider leaving the troopers in the Department of Public Safety. They would be the people on the highway, not the Department of Commerce.
Mr. Chairman, the fiscal note is confusing because and I just want to be sure we're not transferring to the affected department the dollars for 40 positions. You see the full-time 40 there.
Right.
I'm a little confused as to whether or not that includes both
It doesn't say state troopers on it. They weren't previous to that, did they?
Yeah, I don't know.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Albert.
The Department of Public Safety currently has a budget for approximately $2.2 million for this function. That includes 15 troopers plus the people who run the weighhouses. What the fiscal note for 1541.4 attempts to do is to transfer the people who run the weighhouses to the Department of Commerce. Now, if you decide to keep state troopers, those 15 state troopers, when the budget comes up before the committee, then that decision will be made.
And
it would be approximately $900,000. In addition to the 1.54.
Okay, then I was wrong. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Elmer, you should not then, it seems to me, show 40 position under full time.
Mr. Chairman, the 40 positions is correct.
Yes.
For the Department of Commerce.
All right, that's on the second page, it shows the designation of those 40 positions. And it doesn't show any troopers in there.
There were approximately 59 positions funded in the Department of Public Safety as the budget was submitted by the governor.
Oh, I see.
Centralized.
Mr. Chairman, I just wonder how you address the termination of federal funds. Evidently, in the fourth quarter of next year, the federal funds will not be available for the program instead of addressing
Mr. Chairman, this fiscal note includes the federal funds for the 9 months of fiscal year 83, and then they are picked up with general funds for the remainder of the year.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there further questions? There, a motion was made, there was an objection. All in favor of putting the bill out with individual recommendations?
There was a motion, wasn't there?
Yeah. Indicate by raising your hand. Motion passed.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah,
can I do that one?
It's 135.
Yes, not yet.
Senator Dankworth?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know, is there any more discussion on these amendments? I'm going to make a motion at least to get before the, get a bill before the committee at the moment. I'd like to make a motion that we bring up Senate Bill 135.
Without objection, so ordered.
Now, I'd like to propose that we delete anything on Senate Bill 135 and replace it with the amendments that were formerly offered to, that are before us, that were offered for 586, to have that now become Senate Bill number 135, and to change the title appropriately.
The motion is before you. Senator Eliason.
Senator Dankworth, we might have asked Tim a question.
Not at all. I'm
just so curious.
I thought we were through the discussion.
Right. Well, I was one point out. I forgot to ask here a while ago. How do you understand the certificate? Is that just a document that you should be able to do with the credit itself, or just a permission?
No, actually, the ATC, under the manner in which you intend it, these amendments, that the decisions over that would be basically up to the ATC. However, there is the public need necessity clause of that amendment, which would take care of the numbers of permits. In other words, the commission would have to determine the number of permits that is required. But
yeah,
as far as transfer and so on, that's going to be basically a decision the ATC would make. It's our intent that we're not interested in the permit being a saleable item. If that's what you're getting at, we don't want that.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sturgeon-Lewski.
I support the method that Senator Dankworth has used in this. I have something that we perhaps should at least give notice tomorrow on the floor, or possibly consider holding this for one day. But by putting this on a Senate bill, we're going to ensure, even though we can expedite it in the Senate, that it receives a hearing, hopefully, on the House side, where we can have ATC. This is an issue that's come up very late in the session. It has not had an opportunity for public comment, and I think that there's a lot of issues on this, but I think it merits attention by the legislature, and that's why I did not support tacking it onto the other bill, but I do support it going forward in this fashion. It's going to have to receive some rather quick consideration, obviously, due to the lateness of the time of the session. Mr. Chairman, I wonder if you might want to consider or would accept a motion to hold this for one legislative day.
No, Senator Bennett wanted to get it out today.
I remove my objection to the motion.
For adoption?
I will do.
Okay, without objection, we have a new title, Senate Bill 135, with new contents before us.
And, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Dankworth.
I would like to also move, and I suppose it's proper to adopt the fiscal note changes, that the one for $350,000, and that was formerly, it's now
okay. Is there an objection? Without objection, so ordered. Senator Dankworth.
I would move, and hopefully this will go to rules with considerations that we've been talking about. I would move that we move out of committee Senate Bill 135 with individual recommendations.
Is there an objection? Without objection, so ordered. There's nothing else to come before the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stimson?
We do have some folks, I believe, that have been waiting to hear House Bill 146.
I'm sorry, there he is.
Oh, okay. Senator Stimson, you have the floor.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, in your folders, you will find a Senate committee substitute. For the Finance Committee, I would like to move that this be the bill before the committee for discussion. Move and ask unanimous consent.
Motion has been made for a Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 146. Is there an objection? Without objection, the work draft copy is before the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This committee substitute addresses two major points. The purpose is to get the state to make timely payments to its contractors, and secondly, to make sure that the state pays interest on that portion of a contract that is retained when there's a public works project underway. The bill should help the contractors that are working on state projects by lowering the amount of money they need to dedicate to a project, and it will reimburse the contractors the interest on the retainage they would normally have lost if this provision wasn't provided. And Mr. Chairman, I have a number of people that were here this morning. I haven't taken a second to see if they're here this afternoon. John Scribner here? Oh, yes, good. He's with the Department of Transportation and can give us a little background on the changes that have been made in this committee substitute.
Mr. Chairman, my name is John Scribner. I'm Assistant Deputy Commissioner for Design and Construction for Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. My comments are brief on the bill. Basically, we do not favor the bill, this type of legislation. In itself, it has little effect upon our operations, but in the accumulation of this type of legislation does have a substantial effect upon our ability to build and design projects economically and efficiently. This particular bill will increase record keeping on the part of the state and on the contractors, and it also lends itself to disputes between the agencies that administer it and the contractors because of some of the ambiguities within it. On the other hand, we do understand the concerns that the contracting community who are behind this bill have. And so, in spite of our objection to the bill, if it's decided by you all that it's in the best public interest to go ahead with it, with these additional controls, then we feel that this draft before you best accommodates the concerns that we have. We have two minor modifications I would propose in saying that, however. And that is on page 1, on line 14, to try and clarify it somewhat. After materials, we would propose to add it furnished, and after services, we would propose to add performed. And with those two modifications and the other concerns we've expressed, those are all the comments I have.
Would you give us those amendments again, please?
On line 14 of page 1 of the April 23rd working draft, after materials, add furnished. After services, add performed.
I understood that you also were considering inserting the word valid before the word bill on line 14.
Yes, we were considering that. We've discussed it with the contracting community and don't have any strong feelings on that particular word. We feel that adding the words furnished and performed adequately address the concerns that we have.
Thank you, John.
Senator Ferguson. I promised that I wouldn't hold up this bill, but I really do think that we need to contact the political subdivisions and let them know that we're going to make a drastic change to the retainage that some of the communities keep.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stimson.
In response, Senator Ferguson, we have been in contact with the at least some of the political subdivisions. Bruce, are you here? Oh, what was our contact? Maybe you could explain that just briefly, if you would. Did you hear my question? Yeah, what political subdivisions have we been in contact with regarding this bill?
Batsu, Anchorage, Lehigh, Reyes, Juneau, etc. Draft as to be from the original bill, and the last sentence of section C was taken out. I think Mr. conversation with some of the concerns and municipalities, and I think basically what you will have to say will mirror what somebody will have.
We have attempted to address them, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Okay, any further questions of the person testifying?
Chairman,
Senator Eliza?
The time frame is 30 days after receiving the billing. Is that realistic on the time?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lyson, we feel that it is. Our record, most all of our payments get out within about 15 days to contractors. Now, there are a small percentage that do slip over, and in that case, we don't have a major objection to having to pay some type of an interest.
Thank you very much. Are there any further people that would like to testify?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Lee Sharp. I'm the attorney for the City and Borough of Juneau. Subsections A and B do not apply to municipalities, so I won't comment on those. Subsection C does. That's the retaining section. It requires that interest be paid on retainage. I think that that is going to defeat the very purpose of retainage. When I go to a contractor and ask him to put a new roof on my house, we enter into a contract, we shift the risk back and forth and pay each other, agree to pay each other according to the risk. One of the risks that I take is that he may get paid all the money before I get my job done. We could enter into a contract where I pay him up front. We could also enter into a contract where he doesn't get a penny until I'm totally satisfied that the job is done properly. Generally what happens, and what happens with municipalities in the state, is that there are progress payments. We accommodate each other's need. We accommodate the contractor's need for cash as the work progresses, along with my need to be able to control the flow to some extent to ensure that we have performance. The retainage is to make sure that we have something to hold over the contractor at the end of the contract to make sure that everything is performed to our satisfaction. The roof job, for instance, if the contractor, after he gets most of mine finished, but there's still flashing and ceiling to be done, has three or four other jobs he wants to do, where he's got more cash flow because better progress payments at that point, he will tell me he'll come back later, a month, 2 months. Now, if I have a retainage, if I've retained $200 or $300 to make sure that he performs his contract, he'll probably come back and perform that relatively quickly if he knows he's not going to get the money until he does it. But if I'm paying him interest on that, what's his rush? That money is earning money for him. It doesn't matter whether it's in my pocket and he's earning 10.5%, or it's in his pocket and he puts it in the bank and it's earning 10.5%. There's no more incentive for him to come back and finish that contract. That's why we believe that we need to retain our ability to have a retainage and not have to pay interest on it. Because if you pay interest on it, you defeat the very purpose of retainage. Now, I think there's a serious policy consideration for whether you want the state to pay interest on retainage for the reasons that I just told you. But for municipalities, we would certainly ask that you take us out. If you wanted to make this entire bill applicable only to the state, well, I suppose we would have less concern. We certainly ask that you not make this interest on retainage applicable to municipalities.
Senator Sturgis-Lewski?
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Sharp, what percentage of your contracts do you deal with, obviously, progress payments on all of them, but how many do you use that you use retainage? Do you use it?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. All of our contracts that we have progress payments, I believe, we do have a retainage, and it's generally about 10%. A small contract, something is going to be performed in 1 or 2 months, there may be no progress payments at all, therefore no retainage. And that may give you an idea of whether you're really dealing with something that you shouldn't be here, because if a municipality feels that there's a problem with a contractor or with not being able to have retainage, one way to get around that is to have no progress payments. No progress payments, there's no retainage. The contractor will be paid at the end of the job. Now, we all know that's going to cause problems for contractors, but that's one alternate. Another thing that could occur, or generally, I think you're going to find municipalities scurrying around trying to find ways to make sure they have something at the end of the contract that's significant enough to get the contractor to perform. It may not be called a retainage anymore. We're obviously going to call it something else so that we don't come under this language. One of the things that we do right now to accommodate the contractor's need for cash up front is almost everybody allows a progress payment for materials that have been purchased and are on site. know, perhaps we could just say we're not going to pay for materials on site. We're going to pay for only for services performed, not for materials that you've purchased. That would be one way to defer payment. There's just an awful lot of ways that we can try to get around this, and I think we may be creating more problems than we're trying to solve here. I certainly suggest, at least for municipalities, that you seriously consider deleting the application to them.
Senator, the last question I had, Mr. Chairman, was retention, life incentive by paying interest on the retention money. Obviously, the city is probably receiving more in interest than what you've been paying on retention interest. Is that correct?
Well, Mr. Chairman, what we have is perhaps a problem of whose money is that? In other words, if we have a contract where we pay the contractor at the end of the job, we don't have a job until it's finished, and he doesn't get his money until it's finished. Yet, the day before it's finished, you know, there's this building sitting there that he's completed, but we're not using it. It's a problem of definition, I think, of whose money is it.
The question is, what interest rate does the city get for that money in an escrow account?
It may be 10 or 12. I think we're getting around, we're average, probably around 12. I really don't know what we're getting on our investments. Yes, Mr. Chairman, it would be an incentive for the city to say, we're not going to give you any progress payments. We'll pay you at the end of the job when you finish this $10 million high school. Come and see us and we'll pay you. The thing is, if the contractor knows that's what's going to happen, the contractor will crank in to his bid price the cost of money. He will look at the contract and it says the city is going to retain 10%. He knows that he's going to have a cash flow problem to that extent. And if he knows what his progress, what he intends to have his progress on the job to be, he will know how much is going to be withheld at what stages and how much he's going to have to finance himself. And he will crank that financing cost into the contract. So he's really already getting interest on that. He's getting the interest that he's having to pay by not having that full 10% available to him.
Mr. Chairman, I understand there's overpaying spending costs in contracts. Now, wouldn't that be a disincentive to not finish it, you know, beyond a certain day, because you penalize so much per day for not completion, to balance that off against the interest you're making on your retention, you know, might feel worse. So you have an incentive there.
If there is a penalty clause, of course, the courts frown on penalty clauses. We call them liquidated damages clauses. Those have to be based on the injury to the owner for a court to say that that's not a penalty. There has to be a realistic number that you put into the contract as a liquidated damage. Something that relates to the injury to the municipality for not having it completed on time. Generally, those don't go very far because a municipality may have beneficial occupancy of a building, for instance. But there are still doors that need to be hung and broken glass that needs to be fixed, things that still need to be fixed that you can get fixed more quickly if you have retainage. You're not going to collect on the liquidated damages. Also, if you've paid everything to the contractor, then you have to go after the contractor and get him to pay you back. The person with the dollar is the one who has the best control, and that's why we think that we ought to have a little something here that we can retain control with.
Any further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there further people to testify?
Jenny, did you want to testify?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jenny Chitwood, Alaska Municipal League. I basically agree with what Mr. Sharp said. And the only other thing I'd have to add is that by adding political subdivisions, you're adding in municipalities, among others. And there are 152 of them in the state. Of those, 128 have less than 2,000 people in them. They have very small administrative staffs, and they don't have the sophistication to handle this kind of requirement. So I'd request that you delete the political subdivisions from the bill, from Section C. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Instead of deleting the political subdivisions, I'd suggest that we put a population limit on there, any community under 2,500 or less would be excluded. We've done this in many other bills. This is just a suggestion to the subcommittee chair.
Suggestion, I'm sorry.
Suggestion was any communities under 2,500.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Hello?
Senator Lyson?
A question I have, now, in fact, concerned about these higher 52 smaller communities, seems to me it would be odd to call it here, to make provisions for retention. Seems to me that make provisions for 80% retention is going to take out the ability of just a little manpower that would be already had to be with the 16 money. Paying in for the higher 52.
It seems, it adds to the administrative complications and...
Yeah, I have, do you have that much?
Every little requirement that gets added to the project makes it harder. And part of the problem is that they don't have attorneys in the communities. They don't have sets of statutes in the communities. They don't know what the requirements are. So that that's one of the big problems is just knowing what in state law applies to them and what doesn't.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, we had Bill McKeever signed up this morning.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I'm Bill McKeever with TAM Construction of Anchorage. I'm here representing utility contractors of Anchorage. Utility contractors of Alaska. This is a group of contractors such as myself who specialize primarily in underground construction. That is, construction of utilities underground. We're, of course, in favor of passage of House Bill 146. And our reasons for this are pretty much straightforward. The first is just a question of equity. The contractors feel that when money that is earned by the contractors is held back for any reason, that since it has been earned by the contractors, we should be allowed to collect interest on it. And the other is that retainage and late payments present cash flow problems in these days of high interest. We're looking for whatever ways we can to get help with these cash flow problems. I'd like to address, if I could, some of the objections that have been raised to this bill. In particular, Mr. Sharp has said that the passage of this bill, in particular paragraph C, would defeat the purpose of retainage. And I take objection to that. I don't think that's true. For one thing, the interest that the would be required to be paid on retainage under this bill is currently 10.5%. A contractor in a position of having to borrow money to meet his cash flow demands because he's got $100,000 to $200,000 out in retainage on a number of projects can't borrow it at 10.5%. He's, well, nowadays paying closer to 20%. So he's got a very strong cash incentive to get the projects closed out and get the retainage paid to him. In addition to that, the owner agencies have a number of other ways to enforce performance on the part of the contractor. The first, of course, is the contract. The contractor is obligated under the contract to perform. The contract usually has time requirements, and these are very frequently backed up by liquidated damage clauses. In addition to that, on virtually all public works contracts, the contractor is obligated to provide a payment and performance bond. Retainage is probably the handiest tool for the owner agencies to enforce performance on minor items. But as I pointed out, the contractor, even with the passage of this bill, still has a strong positive incentive to complete the project in a hurry and get his retainage back. This doesn't solve all the contractor's cash flow problems, it just helps. I'd further like to point out that with many political subdivisions, they hold retainage, well, at least in the case of the municipality of Anchorage, for up to 90 days after the contract is entirely complete, against the eventuality of a third-party claim coming against the owner. So some of this money, and on sizable contracts, that amounts to a chunk of change, is held out there for a long, long period of time. We can't get our hands on it. We'd like to get paid interest on that. As to the problem of administrative costs and administrative difficulties presented by this bill, especially for the smaller communities, we really don't see that there is going to be all that big an impact for administrative problems. In the first place, the procedures for payment of contractors are already in place, and they're already quite complicated. in the case of a small community which has a small staff administering the program, in every such case that I'm aware of, they always retain a professional engineer to take care of the administration of the contract, including preparation of the pay estimates, the pay estimate forms for periodic payments to the contractors. And what you're talking about here is really just a minor modification to those forms and those procedures, that the work for those modifications wouldn't be done in the smaller communities by the community staff, but rather by a professional engineer retained by those communities. So, the contractors, of course, are very strongly in favor of this bill. I hope I've addressed some of the questions that have been raised. If anybody has any other questions, I'm happy to answer.
Any questions? Thank you very much. Senator Ferguson?
I move that we amend.
Could we hold all amendments till tomorrow morning? All I wanted to do is just take testimony. I hadn't talked to Senator Bennett about moving any other bills to the committee. Is there any further testimony?
Jeannie, Klein, are you going to testify?
Very good.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Dick Pittenger, and I'm the manager of the Alaska Chapter Associated General Contractors. I would, if I might, just comment on one of Mr. Sharp's comments, in which he said that if a contractor knows that there's going to be retainage, he just ups the price of the project. One of the purposes that I could see in 146, very honestly, is a reduction in the cost of a project rather than a continued acceleration in prices that we're being forced to pay at this time for all of our projects. I would also like to make a note, if I may, that the Corps of Engineers is dropping retainage. The Department of Defense also just came out with a notice to all of the defense contractors that they also were going to drop retainage on their contracts. One of the things and one of the rationales behind this, of course, is the fact that they believe that the performance and payment bond is the protection for the owner that Mr. Sharp was indicating his concern of. Now, we have very, very few projects within the state of Alaska that do not have a requirement for a performance and payment. And I believe that that is the protection that the municipalities and political subdivisions do require. And I would ask that the political subdivision portion remain in the bill and that it not be limited to size, because I do not personally feel, having running an office where I have a bookkeeper that has to take care of interest there and account for funds, I do not find that it would be that onerous to deduct a portion of the interest and return that to the contractor at the time of returning the retainage. And unless you have any further questions, that's all I would like to say.
Any further questions from the committee? Senator Ferguson? Senator Elijah?
I just wanted to propose the amendment. Then be page 1, line 28, after the period. C, parentheses of this section does not apply to political subdivisions with a population of 3,000 or less.
Motion before the committee? Debate of the motion?
Mr. Chairman, I guess I appreciate the intent of Senator Pearson's motion. I'm not convinced that it's necessary. It seems to me like any of the communities that enter into contracts are capable of handling what's proposed here.
And I happened to introduce a comparable bill to this last year. And not because anybody had approached me directly or anything like that. It just strikes me that what is being requested here is reasonable. And I can understand why the political subdivisions would not be very pleased with the idea, but I think it's realistic. The more onerous provisions of the bill have been removed, the penalty provisions, and all this is asking for is that amount of money that is retained, that there's interest paid on that until that contract is completed. I don't think it serves as a disincentive. The arguments that we've heard are not, in my opinion, compelling arguments. And I'm not convinced that we need to make any adjustments for the smaller communities.
Mr. Chairman, I'd ask that this bill be held over until we can have time to allow for the smaller communities, of which I represent the majority of communities in my district are the small villages, and Senator Stimson had the privilege of notifying his communities and some other larger communities, but no attempt was made to contact the smaller ones. So I think I'd prefer that we have
a motion to hold the bill over until contact can be made. Probably at this late date, we should probably plan on taking it up not later than Monday.
Okay.
All in favor?
Not later than Monday.
4146.
That's the next one.
Yeah,
Senator Ferguson, we have your bill up next. Senate Bill 252. Ask for words, first, last, solid waste.
Mr. Chairman, I've got a committee substitute for Senate Bill 252. What we've done is taken the 50%, gone up to 70%. The original bill was 75%. We've also added another provision in here, and this would be to include the replacement of obsolete facilities. That was a request made by Senator Ray. And then we changed the fiscal dates of July 1, 1980 to July 1, 1982, so it'd be take effect this coming fiscal year. Mr. Chairman, I move for the adoption of the committee substitute for Senate Bill number 252.
We have a motion for the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 252.
The Alaska Municipal League supports Senate Bill 252, and I've had a chance to look at the committee substitute, and we concur with the proposed change. And I had a position paper that I distributed earlier today and would be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, Jake? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I just had one question. We had a good example in my community a couple of years ago where there were federal funds, state funds, and city funds involved in a municipal sewage disposal system. And we applied for a waiver on secondary treatment. And in order to get a waiver, it cost a considerable amount of money. And I understand the city of Anchorage also spent a great deal of money of Anchorage municipal funds applying for waivers. And then we find that even though we are saving the state 50%, that we're not reimbursed for the cost out of our pocket. So I was wondering if this addresses that particular problem, or if we could maybe put the man on the floor that this particular vehicle could be used to address this reimbursement of those costs. And I know at that time Anchorage had well over $300,000 into the project. Requesting exemptions. So I was wondering maybe if there's something the department here could address that particular question. Well, Senator Ferguson has something that aspect of it or not.
Well, Senator Ferguson?
No, I think that'd be a problem then. I don't have a problem. I think
I bet people in here.
Jenny, were you trying to?
I believe on page 2, section E covers that.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you. Any further testimony on this bill? Any questions?
There's a fiscal note also I prepared for this. With the zero fiscal note, the fiscal note reflects zero impact because the two engineers described in the previous fiscal note are provided for in House Bill 840. Also, there's no increase in grants in the claims line items because the governor FY83 capital budget already has $25 million included for this program. This legislation increases the percentage municipal may receive from the state, not the total amount of capital funds needed to operate the program. So I move the adoption of the fiscal note dated 3/3/82.
Motion for the committee to adopt the fiscal note. All in favor? It's adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move out committee substitute for Senate Bill 252 findings with individual recommendations.
Motion to move out 252 and individual recommendations. All in favor? The bill's discharged the committee with the recommendations. Next item we have to take up is Senate Bill 804, an act making a continuing appropriation of payment for the principal of interest to loans made by the Alaska Agricultural Action Council for land clearing.
To me?
Mm-hmm.
All right, it sounds that way. I don't know a damn thing about it. Oh, here we go. There's nothing within our idea. It came out of the due pass, and 1, 2, 3, 4 due passes. Fisher, if appropriate, interest is something I can't read this writing. Arliss, no rec, need to clarify, interest question, and new fiscal note. There's
nothing in my. I have nothing on it. Absolutely nothing. Mr. Chairman?
Senator?
The only question I had was on Delta 2.
Payments of the principal interest on loans made for land.
We didn't allow certain things to take place in Delta 2 if I'm correct.
Do you know anything about it?
Nope, like to hold it one day?
Yeah.
We'll hold it, Bill, until tomorrow.
Smell it.